السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي فرحان كراني، السلام عليكم. hope you well إن شاء الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله.
Mufti Saab, Maaf, I don't know, we were trying to contact. I think there was probably some problem with the connections. Everything well, Mufti Saab? It's been a while.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, it was a bit busy, you know, end of the year, madrasa imtihan, and yeah, super busy.
Mufti Saab, as we reach this silly season now, we always appreciate the different advice the ulama give, especially during these periods where people tend to just think that we can loosen ourselves now, loosen our dresses now, loosen our clothing, make everything loose so that everything just becomes sort of following the desires so that we can enjoy the holiday better. But how can there ever be happiness in the displeasure of Allah?
Yeah, exactly. That was all the land of Shaitan Hajim. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Surah Zilzal, that whoever does an iota, an atom, a small minute good deed, he will see. And he will see it in the Akhirah. And whoever does a minutest evil deed, you will also see that the sun, no matter how small it is, it will earn a person the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, because the sun is a transgression against Allah Ta'ala. And whatever good deed a person puts forward for himself, he sends it forward to the Akhirah for himself, then you will definitely, most certainly see it. And unless the person has other qualities like jealousy and ghibah, and then those sins, they wipe out all the good deeds of a person. Now, we are in, you can say we're already in this season, December season, we call it the Sali season, where Muslims, they tend to put their guard down, their guard of Iman, their guard of Taqwa, they tend to put it down, and they want Islam for the holidays, which is, I'm a Muslim still, but I'm not going to practice so much. Right? So they lose their identity as Muslims, and they shy away from the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Now that is the sign of a hypocrite. It's the sign of a hypocrite that he wants people to know he's a Muslim, but also he doesn't want to practice Islam. And so any opportunity he finds, like this holiday season, then he shies away from the laws of Allah Ta'ala and doesn't want to practice upon it. So whether we are at home, or whether we are on holiday, or wherever we are in the world, we have to follow the command of Allah Ta'ala in our dress code, especially. You know, people, they at home, they're wearing the kurtas and they're wearing their topis and everything. And when they go out, before they even leave on holiday, they're already wearing their short trousers and they're wearing, their topi is gone, their kurta is gone, and no, we're on holiday. Yeah, we can take it easy now. Take it easy. There's no taking it easy. What if you die in this situation? Why? How did you die in that state? Then how is it going to be easy upon you? It's not going to be easy for you. It will be very difficult, because the malaika are going to come and they're going to question you, that how did you die? How did you leave this world? And a person's end of his life, it says about his whole life. The person, he might do good deeds his whole life, and then at the end of his life, taqdeer takes over and he does an evil act, and then he dies in that state. So do we want to die on holiday in that state? What if we're driving Allah Ta'ala Kubur, something happens and so we pass away? Do we want to meet Allah Ta'ala in that state where we were in flagrant violation of Allah Ta'ala's laws? We weren't wearing the sunnah dressing, we were wearing the kuffar style dressing, and so we don't want to be caught up in that. So especially our youth, you know, our youth, they tend to get distracted by their friends and by influencers and the social media, especially they get caught up in different kinds of haram activities, and all these activities they call upon the youth, Remember, if you get the youth involved in something, then you're going to break up the family, because the parents are going to fight, because the child is not listening. And it causes turmoil in the family unit. So as youth, we should remember that we're first Muslims. Right? We don't have to do what our friends are doing. We don't have to do what the social media, TikTok tells us to do. We don't have to do what, I don't know what kind of apps you get these days, all these funny apps you get, and they influence you to do haram. And then besides these things also, we have now the biggest fitna, and I read an article about it also. It is the biggest sport. It is a sport that has taken over the world. Taken over the world. This is a federal sport. The sport of federal is so bad. It's so bad. And now the youth, they're spending their whole holidays playing paddle. And that is the disguise. If you're going to play paddle with my friends. You're going with friends to play paddle. And then maybe they play paddle, right? And then they, so there's a haram in there also. They're not going to be covering the stuff. They're going to be wearing short trousers, and they're going to mingle with girls, and then they're going to vape, and then they're going to smoke hookah, and then they're going to listen to music, and then they're going to... All haram activities can for them from this. All, the whole venue is surrounded by haram. So how are you going to find a lot less pleasure? And then you find that the whole year, the child is attending the madrasa, and he's learning aqaid, and he's reading his Quran, and everything. And then holiday day comes, and because of the sins he commits, that Allah Ta'ala takes away the noor of the Quran from his heart, and then he comes back to madrasa, and then he's struggling to read the Quran. And he forgot his surah, and he forgot that, and he forgot that. Why? Because he committed sins, and he never makes over. So the first thing when we come back, when after these unholy days, then we must make over. You must make over, constant over, make enough over, cry to Allah Ta'ala. But we mustn't involve ourselves in sins intentionally. Intentionally, we cannot commit a sin, because if a person commits a sin intentionally, then it is a greater sin, because he knows that he's committing a sin and he's doing it, and then that can lead him to kufr, because he is knowingly transgressing and violating Allah Ta'ala's commands. So the youth especially. Now if we just read the story of the Sahaba, if you're bored, what you must do? Go in Jamaat. And go in Jamaat. Spend 10 days in Jamaat. At least one third of your holiday will be spent properly, inshallah, in a work of deen. And you'll be in the masjid, forced to read Quran and listen to stories of the Sahaba. And the youth must just contemplate on and read the stories of the Sahaba. It's the youth of the Sahaba. Give you one or two incidents. And the Sahaba never wasted their time in futility. And they were eager to die. They were eager to die in the path of Allah Ta'ala. But how our youth are eager to do? They're eager to go with their friends and mess around and waste their time. That's their eagerness to play Fortnite and PlayStation. You know, this is their ambitions for their free time. The Sahaba, the youth, 10, 11, 12 years of age, and a Sahabi, age of 12 years old, and very like 11, 12 years old, there was this group of bandits that stole Rasulullah's camel from Ghaba, about 5 kilos out of Medina Munawwara. And the Sahabi, he happened to spot these people taking the camels of Rasulullah. And those camels were under the guardianship of a shepherd. So these bandits, they killed the shepherd, and they took the camels, they stole the camels. So the Sahabi, he was very, very good and efficient in archery. And so this is one of the sports, the halal sports. Halal sports, not paddle and cricket and soccer. Halal sports, archery and swimming and horse riding. These are sports that we should take up as a sunnah of Rasulullah. We make intention that we're doing it because it's a sunnah of Nabi Qasim. So these were the things the Sahaba should do. So this Sahabi, he never got onto his horse. This Sahabi, he imagine he could outrun an Arabian horse. An Arabian horse. He used to have competition running with horses and used to outrun horses. So the Sahabi, he chased after these people and he's shooting arrows at them while he's running. And they thought that there's a whole group of people behind them. So they started abandoning, throwing their spears down, and they releasing the camels as they're going because they need to lighten the load. They can't run, they can't travel so fast on their horses or the camels pulling behind. So they left all the camels behind, and they left all the cloth material behind and the spears, etc. And just one man, one Sahabi, youngster, chasing them. They didn't know about this. Eventually, they found out that, no, it's only one person. Because every time they turn around, he hides behind a tree, hides behind a bush. So they can't see him. They don't know who's chasing them. And then eventually, they caught up with him. They came to him. And while he was running, he climbed up a hill and he screamed at, for help from Medina Munawara. So the reinforcements were coming. So when these bandits caught hold of him and they were about to capture him, he said, wait. Just hold on 1 minute. He said, you know who am I? I'm the son of so-and-so. I'm from this family. And he started talking to them. Now to distract them until reinforcements come. And soon after, the reinforcements came. And they then chased off these bandits. And one Sahabi became Shaheed, and the group, the leader of those bandits also died, he was killed. And they returned to Medina Munawara with all the camels and the booty. And then he asked Nabi Sassam, imagine now, he asked Nabi Sassam that, Ya Rasulullah, give me 100 men, I can go back. I'll get them. I'll get them. Nabi Sassam said, no, it's done now. They must have reached the base camp already now. It's okay now. We got our camels back. So this was the... This was the enthusiasm of the Sahaba and the youth. Imagine, in the Battle of Badr, one Sahabi, youngster, he is tiptoeing near the back, and Nabi Qasim is making the stuff straight of the Sahaba for battle, not for going for excursion or bush camp or something. This is jihad. They're going in jihad. And this youngster, 10, 11 years old, he's standing at the back there, tiptoeing, and Nabi Sassam asks, who are you? He says, my name is so-and-so, son of so-and-so. Then Nabi Sassam asks again, who are you? He goes another place there, he asks, who are you? He says, I'm a so-and-so, the grandson of so-and-so. And he gives a title. Eventually, he gave about 5 different names of the same person. The same person. Because he wanted, his desire was to go in jihad and not come back. And the Sahaba's desire was to go in jihad and not to return. That is how they used to fight in jihad, not to return. We don't want to come back home. Even the wives used to, hey, why you came back home? What are you doing here? You're supposed to go and meet your Rabb. You're supposed to attain shahadat. Get your friend. Your friend died as a shaheed. Okay, your father died as a shaheed. Hey, you like a, why are you coming back? What are you doing here at home? Go back in jihad and go and meet your Rabb. Stay shahadat. That was the wives and the mothers of those times. And nowadays, the mothers will tell you, oh, go with your friends, it's okay. People going to the mall, don't get up to mischief. But they know also they're going to get up to mischief. And so these are the Sahaba, the youth. Imagine the two Sahaba in the Battle of Badr. Yeah, so we're talking about that Sahabi. He got his name enrolled into the Mujahideen. And now his friend says, Ya Rasulullah, it's unfair that he can go and you don't take me. He said, I can beat him. I can beat him in wrestling. I can take him on any time, I can drop him. He said, okay, fine. If you drop him, you can come. And they had a wrestling match, and there's another a sport that is halal, that is a sunnah sport, mistake of wrestling. So he dropped the Sahabi. And then he said, okay, you can both come. So that those other two Sahaba, youngsters, 10, 11 years old, in the Battle of Badr, they stand on the side of Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and they say, Chacha, where is Abu Jahl? And Abu Jahl, are we explaining what was the enthusiasm of the youth of those days, the Sahaba, the youth of the Sahaba, and in the youth of our days, playing video games and wasting their life in front of a screen, in front of cell phone screens. And so these two Sahaba, they asked, where is Abu Jahl? Now the Sahabi is thinking, it will be so nice if I had two strong men beside me. He said, okay, there's Abu Jahl there on the camel there. Yeah, big guy there on the camel there. Yeah, okay. So now we took off and they speeding away towards Abu Jahl, and they're making a plan. One says, okay, I'm gonna cut the camel's leg, and another say, when he comes down, I will stop him out there, I'll finish him up. So they catch Abu Jahl's camel, one chops the camel's leg, camel falls down, the other one gets busy chopping Abu Jahl there, and he falls down, Abu Jahl falls down, and his brother, the one Muaz's brother, comes to help to finish Abu Jahl. And Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, he comes and he injures the Sahabi, and he cuts his arm. His arm is now hanging on skin, and now it's in his way. It's in his way. He's a young Sahabi. So what he does, he throws his arm behind him. Now can you just imagine? Can you just imagine the adrenaline and what was the adrenaline? Shahadat. They weren't bothered. This arm is troubling him. What would we do? We'd be screaming our life out. We'd fall down unconscious out of the pain and calling medics and going berserk there. He's calm. He just threw his arm behind there. His arm is bothering him. So, and he's bleeding. It's not like there's no blood coming out. There's blood coming out and he's excruciating and painful. And he takes the sword in the other hand. And then the arm is now coming in front. He's troubling. So what he does, he puts his arm under his foot and he rubs it out. He rubs it out and throws it away. This thing is troubling, it's bothering me. Imagine, the Sahabi, the love for Shahadat they had, the love for Jihad, the love for Shahadat, the drink of the cup of Shahadat, they yearn for this year. And then he carried on fighting. Imagine, those were the youngsters. We explained the youngsters. And then if you read the stories of the other Sahaba, and the brave Sirar bin Aswad, Allahu Akbar, as a lion, he used to go into the battlefield, bare chested, take off his armor. And we're going to we're going into war, put our bulletproof on him. He takes off his armor. And what a lungi, and his swords, double swords, and he's going rushing into the enemy. And that was the life of the Sahaba. Those were the real men. Now, and those Sahaba, 12 years old, 13 years old, they were better than our men of these days. They were better than our men of these days. And our men of these days, they even scared of a mouse. A mouse is running around, they're jumping on top of the tables. And imagine, the Sahaba, so enthusiastic to die in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And our youth want to die in front of screens and die in front of, die on pedal courts. And where our youth going? Vaping. The parents don't know what our children are doing. They don't know because they are too engrossed in their mystery. They involved in their own enjoyment and their own sports. They're not worried about what their children are doing. We have to know what our children are doing. Our children must be with us. Not, you cannot allow your child to go on his own, on her own. On her own, that's not even a question. And on her own, how can you allow your daughter to go with her friends to play tennis or paddle or go to for swimming or go for to this place or go to this mall? And how can a parent of a daughter ever allow her child, a daughter to go out alone? Never. It's not possible. If you don't love your daughter, if you do that, you don't love your daughter, because you're supposed to have ghairat. And what is this ghairat? You're supposed to have this moral backbone. Say, no, nobody can look at my daughter. Nobody must talk to my daughter. It's my daughter. It's the daughter of Islam, the daughter of the Muslims. How can I make my daughter a prostitute and send her to the malls and for every boy to look at her and talk to her and get her number? And Allah knows best what happens without the knowledge of the parents. It's happening. Very, very bad things are happening out there, and the parents don't know about it. And sometimes they even know about it, and they're happy. The father is happy. No, at least, you know, we give the boy house permission so he can come. At least we know who he is. You know, it's better we know who he is and we don't know who he is. No, so at least we know the family also now, and we know the boy, and he's not going to try anything. You know, he's a very good boy. We know him. I know his father. I know his grandfather. You know, he's a good family. You're allowing your daughter to commit zina under your guard. Under your guard, you're allowing your daughter to commit zina. And where are your scruples? You even have a brain in your head that you can allow your daughter to do these kind of things under your guard. You say, no, it's under my guard. And under your guard, knowingly, you're making your daughter a prostitute. I mean, where is this ummah going to? Where is this ummah going to? We have to now, we have to sit back. We have to think now, what do I want? What do I want? Do I want to follow the kuffar? Because the kuffar will never be happy with me. Whatever I do to lick their boots and to grovel at their feet, they're never going to be happy with me until I leave out Islam totally. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The kuffar will never be happy with you until you become like them, you follow their religion. Yeah, very, very sad. You know, these young ulama who are coming out from some of these institutions and who promote this interfaith. Yeah, the one Maulana is giving his tafsir, he's giving his small little 2 minute talk after Maghrib Salah. It is also a bidah. After the Maghrib Salah, we're supposed to start with our Sunnah Salah, not give tafsir lessons there. It's not the time for it. After the Sunnah Nafl, you can give your tafsir. So what does he translate? He says that وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِهِ. And he says, do not ridicule, do not swear those people of faith who call towards other than Allah. Now what is that? That is interfaith. Those people who subscribe and believe in interfaith. That is a totally incorrect in translation. وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ. الَّذِينَ, they, we know Arabic. الَّذِينَ is those people. It's not those people of faith. And so these people are incorrectly translating for their own agendas. So, we lost the road a little bit there. So what our youth is supposed to be doing is to connect with Allah Ta'ala. Make sure your child reads Quran every day. Make sure they read Quran every day. Every day they must read one page or two pages of Quran. Whatever is to read in madrasa, they must read every day. Read their surahs, they must listen to their surahs every day. You mustn't forget it. You know, Muslims, not only at madrasa time and during the year, Muslims every day of the year, make sure they read their salah. They must read their salah. If you are youth listening, then you should make sure that your obligation to Allah Ta'ala is first. That I must first fulfill my obligation to Allah Ta'ala. I must read my salah. I must be in a masjid. Fajr salah, Bahar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. I must be in a masjid. And I must, because that salah, if you're going to read, that's going to stop you from all the wrong and immorality and all the sins. So the first thing is your salah. Never ever leave your salah. Whether you're traveling by plane, whether you're traveling by train, or you're traveling by car, whatever mode of transport you're using, it is salah time. And make sure you perform your salah. And don't ever leave your salah. Because if you leave your salah, then shaitan is going to become your friend. And then you're going to lose your plot. And you're going to lose your iman also on the way. Because your friends are going to overpower you. And unfortunate indeed that nowadays, the parents are allowing their children to bring over their friends. Bring over their friends to the house. And what nonsense is this now? Really, what is this world coming to? And who are the friends? Non-Muslim friends. Non-Muslim boy, non-Muslim girl coming into your house. And now that non-Muslim boy is looking at your mother, looking at your sister, in your house, eating with you, swimming in your swimming pool, eating with you and swimming with you and doing everything, activities in your own house, and your husband is okay with it, and your wife is okay with it. What is this world coming to? This is why Allah Ta'ala punishes us. This is why we don't have rain. This is why we get earthquakes. This is why we're getting all azab from Allah Ta'ala. Because we are leaving the ways of the Sharia. We're leaving the ways of Allah Ta'ala. We're leaving the way of the Sunnah. That this, we are intermingling with all these. We're bringing kuffar into our homes, and we are following the ways of the kuffar, because the non-Muslims do this kind of thing. They have their friends come over and spend the night and spend the weekend and eat with them and go on holiday with them and doing activities with your family, with your sister in the house, and bringing another boy inside. And we don't have shame. Where is our shame? And if we al-haya'u shu'batu min al-iman, haya is a very integral part and a branch of iman. And when you lose your iman, and wisdom says, فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتِ. If you lose إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَاةَ فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتِ. Go do what you want. It's a very stern. You go do whatever you want. If you lose, you don't have haya, you don't have shame. Go do whatever you want. It means that then you have no iman. You have no iman. A girl is going to, there is no, somebody asked one lady in Farda that, which is the correct way? Is it okay to wear a headscarf and then you wear jeans and your arms are open? Or must you dress like this here? It's covered from head to toe with a big baggy burqa in it. So the woman explained that, no, this is the correct way. That is not the way of Islam. And because the woman thinks, no, she's just covering her head and she's fine. Covering her hair, she's fine. Now her arms are open and she's got her tight jeans, or she's wearing a abaya which swings open like double doors opening up there, and she can see her legs and her figure and everything. And what kind of Muslims do we want to be? Well, there's not a question of what kind of Muslims you want to be. Do you want to be a Muslim or a kafir? And choose. Be a Muslim, remain as a Muslim, do what Allah Ta'ala says. Wanna be a kafir, go be a kafir, become a proper kafir. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't need your deen. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need your deen, your Islam. Allah Ta'ala will bring another nation. يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. And وَلَا تَتُرُّونَ وَشِيَا. You're never going to harm them in any way. You can't do anything to them. But Allah Ta'ala will bring another nation for in place of us. Now we must make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. You want rain, and you must make istighfar, abundance of istighfar, and abundance of tawbah, and return to Allah Ta'ala. And we must spend our time in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala and not in the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, guide us. أَخِرْ دَوَانَا أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.